Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk and Heart to Heart this Saturday morning, October the 12th, 2019. We'd like to welcome all our callers, all of you who called in at Issues Christian Men's Talk and Heart to Heart. We're doing a simulcast this morning. We're doing both shows simultaneously together. Apostle Etta Banks is out of town at a conference, and she asked me to stand in for her show. So we just tied it together. We use the technology we have and bring the two shows together and be able to discuss some things today. We're going to talk about Christ-likeness, more, being more like Christ, becoming more Christ-like in our lives as believers in God. So today I just want to thank everyone on Heart to Heart who called in and listened in. If you called in at 657-383-0982, welcome. My name is Deacon Thomas Farr, and I do a show also called Issue, a blog talk show called Issues Christian Men's Talk, also on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And again, we are doing a live simulcast together with both shows, and I'm sitting in this morning for Apostle Etta Banks. I pray she may call in or may not. She said she would try, but I believe she's in a conference this morning. Amen. And for my regular listeners at Issues Christian Men's Talk, who called in at 646-668-2636, we'd like to welcome you also. We see you there on the keyboard, on the switchboard. Again, if anyone that's listening wants to just join the conversation, we have both keys, switchboards up. So if you just want to join the conversation, share a comment, have something to say, or ask a question, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can come to you. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're going to open with prayer, and we're going to go right into the conversation and becoming more Christ-like in our walk. And we're going to discuss it today and just give a word of encouragement. Father God, we say thank you this morning. God, we thank you for an opportunity, oh God, to glorify you. We thank you for an opportunity to be used by you to advance your kingdom. Father, we say thank you today, God, for being God. We thank you for the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, God, for this day, God, this morning, that we stand in awe of you and in your presence and waiting to know what your will for us is today, God. So, Father, we just say thank you. Father, today we want to lift up those, oh God, in hospital rooms, those who woke up in a hospital bed this morning, Lord God. We're praying for their healing. We're praying for their comfort. Father, we lift up their families today who've been sitting by the bedside, God, somewhere. Someone is sat by the bedside of a sick friend or family member, God. Father, we pray their comfort and their peace, God, no matter what the circumstances and no matter what's going on and what may be the outcome, we pray that you would touch their lives. Use this opportunity to show yourself mighty to them that they might see the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the promise of your word. Father, we ask today that you touch the lives of men everywhere, men, husbands, fathers, and sons. Touch them, God, no matter where they are. Father, I ask today that you touch that man that's sitting on the edge of the bed who woke up this morning, God, and has a challenge before him and he doesn't know what to do. Father, speak to his heart. Give him guidance and direction as he leads his family, leads his home, leads his wife, his children, and shows himself mighty in the community, Lord God, as a man of God. So, Father, you know that all things are in your hand. Father, we bow and we submit to your will this morning. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to watch over us. Father, bless your church, O God, for those, O God, who are called by your name, that are standing for righteousness, God, that are standing on your word, that are standing for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help them, Lord God, even those who go out this morning in evangelism, those who live a life of evangelism, that they might reach the lost and the unbeliever. Today would be the day of salvation in someone's life. So, God, we thank you, we praise you, give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and if you're listening on Heart to Heart, I am substituting this morning for Apostle Etta Banks on her show, Heart to Heart, and we're doing a live simulcast. We tied the two shows together with my show that usually broadcasts at 9 a.m. It's Issues Christian Men Talk. So I pray those who are listening would be edified, would be encouraged by the conversation we're going to have today. And again, the same rules apply. If you've called in on Heart to Heart, or if you called in for my regular listeners on It's Just Christian Men's Talk, if you just press one on your keypad, we can bring you into the conversation, and you can ask a question or share your insight and wisdom. So today we're going to talk about being more Christ-like and who we are. Usually for those who are listening on Heart to Heart, usually I address men, but today I'm going to broaden my horizons a little bit, and I want to include the whole body of Christ, who we are in Christ, and how we become more Christ-like. Because I believe that these are the things we need to encourage one another about. There's some issues that we deal with and we struggle with as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons, as wives, mothers, and daughters. We have to strive to be more Christ-like in our walk. And sometimes we just have to check ourselves. We have to be able to look at ourselves. I tell the brothers all the time that what we do as men's ministry, and why I have a passion for men's ministry, is we have to be able to check our oil. And just like our vehicles, you don't see any oil car checking themselves for oil. We have to be checked by oil by those around us. And while we speak the importance of men's ministry, we speak the importance of being part of a local body, that we hold each other accountable, that we are called the body of Christ. We are connected. We are in true fellowship, true koinonia, and that this is how we grow. This is how we grow, and this is how we are become more like him. So let me begin. Being more Christ-like, it should be the desire of every believer. You know, it's encouraging to know that God has the same desire for us that he had for the apostles, the same desire he had for all those that came before us, the same desire he has for those coming after us, for our children, that we would become more Christ-like. And even for the lost and the dying and the disobedient and the sinner man, that we, as we reach and go out as the body of Christ and evangelize, Christ has a desire for us to be more like him. First to come to salvation and understand and surrender and submit ourselves unto Christ, but then to grow to be more Christ-like in our everyday walk. Because he calls us to be more like him in this world. And it's not so much an outward, but it starts on the inside. That's one of the things I've learned over the years of my salvation walk and my sanctification walk, that it all starts on the inside. You know, sometimes in a men's group, we get into a conversation about outside appearances and dressing up and telling the young brothers to pull their pants up and all kinds of things. But if we are honest and we look back over their generations, there was always, you know, the church would try and dress people up and make them look more holy, which I don't know what that means. But we hopefully we're past that in our mindsets and our thinking, especially when we're going to reach a lost and dying and unbelieving world, you know, because it's about the inside and it starts in the inside. And the only way as a believer can do that is to be a persistent believer, be conformed to the likeness of Christ, starting to surrender to his word and be submitting it to his will. Once we share the gospel, and that's where it comes to as the body of Christ, as men of God and women of God, are we truly sharing the gospel that's going to change the heart and mind of a person, that's going to open up blinded eyes? And again, as always, when I talk about evangelism, I always start, evangelism starts with prayer. It must start with prayer. We can have all kinds of strategies. We can have all kinds of evangelistic outreaches. We can do all those things. But if it does, if it's not based, it doesn't start with the foundation of prayer. We're leaving God out somehow. We have to remember that God changes hearts, that God transforms minds, that God opens up. Because, again, God has pre-election, which is a whole other teaching and doctrine, but we're not going to go there today. But God knows who is going to come to his own and whose is his. Amen? But we are called to go and reach the world. Amen? So being more Christ-like is God's work. It's God using us, that through his Holy Spirit, through us surrendering and submitting. I think that's the real thing we have to understand. I don't care how long we've been saved. If you've been saved 6 months, 6 days, 6 hours, or 30 years, 25 years, you've been in the church your whole life, and for some of you very special people out there who have been saved since you was, whatever, 8 years old, fine. I'm not going to dispute that right now, but however, did we come into the knowledge of full understanding, and where have we come, and how have we grown? Because if we still have that childlike faith, have we really grown and matured? But that's another thing. But, again, we want to talk about today is moving forward and being more Christ-like. So I would just encourage the brothers and women and men out there. Excuse me if I again, slip a little bit because I usually do my end talk show. But for my sisters out there who may be listening who joined us on Heart to Heart, again, I'm going to do another plug and let you know that Apostle Etta Banks, and we're sitting in and substituting for her program today at Heart to Heart, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And I also do a show every morning at 9 a.m. called Issues Christian Men's Talk. So today we're doing a live simulcast, and we have tied the two shows together. So if you're listening online, and always, as always, if you want to share, ask a question, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. We're monitoring both switchboards, so I just want to encourage you. So as we move on, the fact God will transform us into his Christ-likeness doesn't mean that we have to sit back and be carried off to heaven. You know, we have to, it's a process that demands us sometime submitting and surrendering to his loving grace and his divine power to fulfill. And that's what we are when we call ourselves Christian, when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that we submit and we obey the things that God has called us to do. I'm going to go real quick to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's what we have to understand, that God started the work. God gave us that seed was planted in us, and God makes it possible to grow. So now, what are we going to do? What are we going to surrender to the word that we know? Even from the time where you were told about Christ, you heard the gospel message, and you came to the point where you hearing God, you understand what God is saying, you understand that who you were as a sinner, why you needed Christ, why Christ came, why Christ died. And now as you continue to move into his likeness and grow in him, you submit yourself unto him. You become more Christ-like, which also it's our responsibility to start to seek those things. We are different than our grandparents. I'll say our grandparents, because our parents, you know, there was a lot of knowledge that was not additional revelation and understanding of Scripture. But for our grandparents and great-grandparents, we have more access to the Bible, more understanding, more opportunities, scholarship and teaching material and resources than they had. But we have to remember, it's still the Holy Spirit living within us that's going to make us be able to receive the revelation of God and then to live that thing out. And do we do that by seeking? We do that by studying. We do that in fellowship in the local body and growing together. You know, I recently I got into a conversation, and I'm doing some study on, you know, salvation and sinner's prayer and all those things, how they came about. And that simplicity of sometimes we make salvation so simple that people really don't have to do anything or really have to change. If they say a prayer, we give them a false sense of salvation. And now they're okay. They're not going to hell, but they don't have to submit. They don't have to live godly lives. They don't have to live obedient lives. So have we really made disciples as Christ called us to do? Is to make disciples, and then the Holy Spirit will transform their heart. Because remember, Judas hung around the whole time, and he was not of them. But he was there for everything. He was even used in the midst of the 3 years of ministry with Jesus Christ. But when it came down to it, he was not a true believer. And the Bible speaks of wheat and tare. So again, what are we doing to draw us individually? And this is what I always say at Element on Issues Christian Men's Talk is, this gospel is not that I have it together or any of the men that I bring on as guests. Is that we're striving every day, and every day every man has to look at himself in the mirror, and every woman has to look at himself in the mirror and say, who are you in Christ? And are you moving today closer to more Christ-likeness than you were yesterday? Or you can go bigger, last month, last year. Where are you in, when it comes to Christ? Because we all look for achievement and success and improvement in our lives in other areas, but are we focused on the spiritual growth? We want promotions on our job. We want responsibility in our jobs. We go to school. We want degrees and certificates and certifications. But then when it comes to the body of Christ and in our spiritual walk, where are we at? And I don't mean about being a deacon or an elder or being ordained and being all these things. I'm talking about our spiritual growth. How does God see us? What is God using us for in our life? And are we growing in understanding, and are we being submissive and surrendering to God and living out what his plan for our life is? Even in the midst of our secular and temple realm, our jobs, our lives, our families, all those things, God gives us direction and instruction in his word on how to live. But then are we growing in our Christ-likeness, and what does it look like? Amen. So I just want to touch on a few things this morning that to encourage everyone out there. And our Christ-likeness, again, doesn't mean sitting back. It's a process that demands our submission and our cooperation and obedience to the Holy Spirit that's living within us. It's the divine power of God that works in us to fulfill our human responsibility to our Savior and our Creator. Amen? So first, let me go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Those a lot of my saints out there familiar with Romans chapter 12. Real quick, I'm going to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your special spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. That perfect will of God, worship, involves self-dedication to God. We volunteer our bodies, living sacrifices. Our minds are renewed and transformed, and that is done by the study of the Word. So it is around who we hang with. I know some of us, our parents told us, who you hang with, be careful with who you're hanging with and who's in your circle, who your friends are. Because you hang around bad apples and bad friends, you're going to have a bad outcome. Because you're going to get caught up. You're going to be a co-conspirator, a co-defendant. Because sometimes the Bible is the people you hang with. So when you're hanging around those who believe and don't believe what you believe, you're going to get caught up in some things. I just use that natural term, but even in the spiritual realm, are we renewed in our mind and being transformed in our mind? And are we voluntarily surrendering to God? Again, knowing that God loved us, knowing that God loved us so much, he sent his son to die for us and shed his blood that we might be redeemed back to him. Are we surrendering our lives? Are we surrendering to it? Jesus said, follow me. He came, he came to his disciples, I believe it was Matthew, and said, follow me. And Matthew got up and left all that he had and followed Christ. He had heard the call of God, and he stopped what he was doing, the life he was living, and was able to surrender. Are we ready to do that in our spiritual realm? Now, are we ready to give up the old life or who we used to be, how we used to think, to follow God, to learn God, to become more Christ-like in our living and our understanding and how we see the world, how we treat people? Because, again, it's important. John the Baptist said, we must become greater. Excuse me, he must become greater and I must become less. Is God greater than you and you submitting yourselves unto him? That we focus more and more on Christ and his glory and we lose ourselves to his will. And that's something that we have to understand as men and women of God. Is it more about Christ and his will for our life? Because we all have dreams, desires, we want to do things and be things. But is that what God wants us to be? And even in the midst of where you are right now, no matter where you are, in the circumstances, the life, those around you, God wants you to be his salt and his light in that circumstance. And are we doing that? Or are we conforming to the world? Are we just getting along? Do we stand for anything? Do people hear? Do people see our lives and see how we talk and our character and know that we are Christians and we believe and that they know who we are and they can come to us. They come to us for prayer. They come to us for the understanding. And that's the other thing. Are we being salt and light? because even salt, we have a certain flavor in the room. We set the temperature of the room, and to be light, we bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ into the lives of some people. We can't assume. One of the things I've learned, one of the things I tell people in our evangelism team is, don't assume people know the gospel. Don't assume people know who Jesus Christ is. That's why we're here. That's why we're here to tell them. The two apostles went out and went all over the world. Paul went out to tell people about Jesus Christ. We didn't assume. I know in this culture we get kind of lazy. We think, okay, people already know. They're rejecting it because they don't know. We have to check ourselves on that. Because remember, everybody's grandmother and grandfather and great-grandmother and great-grandfather wasn't Holy Ghost-filled church, going to church. Some of them were bootleggers, pimps, whores, and drug dealers, and bootleggers, and thieves, and liars. That's some of our legacies. So don't assume that everybody knows and everybody had a grandma who's in church and their grandma was praying for them. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to give a gospel to this generation, to those around us, and speak a word of truth. Because even in the midst of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's false teachers that some people get caught up with, and they have a false sense of their security, a false sense of their salvation, because they're not really saved. It's a fake, it's a fraud, it's superficial. Amen? So the second point I want to make today is about becoming Christ-like. As a result, we are freedom from sin, freedom from sin. Since Jesus Christ lived a sinful life, as we all know, we consider ourselves dead to sin. Because he lived a life of purity, and we live a life of purity because of him. Because God, when God looks at us, if we are covered in the blood of Jesus, God looks at us and he sees his son. He sees his unblemished, holy son and his blood and his righteousness. So God, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. That's a simplistic gospel, that we are free from sin. So now, how are we living? How are you living? Sometimes, again, we have to always be able to check ourselves. How are we living? Are we living obedient to God? Are we living in obedience to the word of God, to the teachings and commandments of God? Or are we choosing to do what we want to do and call it righteousness and call it, I'm a Christian, but I'm doing all kinds of crazy things? And this brings back to my memory something I saw on Facebook, confessing Christians, and you see them doing all kinds of crazy videos and for fun and entertainment, and I'm like, okay. Is that what being a Christian means because of what you're doing? I don't know. I think the enemy tried to set it off because some people are watching, because we have to remember people are always watching our lives. Let's go to John real quick. John 15, verse 10 and 13. The word says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remained in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has a greater love than this, that someone will lay down their life for their friends. What are we doing? How are we laying down our life? Our submission in laying down our life is submitting to Christ and letting Christ's life show in us, his will, his obedience. We have sacrificial love, or that's a hook to brothers all the time about husbands. Loving your wife sacrificially. Loving our wives sacrificially. Wives, loving your husbands sacrificially. We sacrificially love our children. Most of it, we try to do the best we can with our children, to raise them up, to plant seeds in their lives, to guide and direct them. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. Can we show sacrificial love to our church members, to those people who sit next to us in the pews, the people that we're with every week in worship services? Are we showing sacrificial love there? Are we patient in our suffering? Or are we always praying God to save us, to deliver us? But we have to endure some things. You know, I think about in Peter, when Peter wrote his letters, he was writing to a church that was under deep persecution. And he told them to endure the suffering. And that is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we live in our lives. So being more Christ-like is to be able to endure some things, obedience, and we're set free from sin. Remember, we are set free from sin as we become more Christ-like. We are no longer our own master, but we are surrendered to Christ. And we are to continue to press towards the mark that God has called us to be as men and women of God, to continue to dwell, to continue to let the Holy Spirit that dwells in us know that God, that Jesus Christ is interceding us at the right hand of the Father, that the word of God is given to us for guidance and directions. I always share that the Bible, we have to see the Bible more than cliche and cute little verses and little, and we quote scripture and we make it into a cliches, but the word of God is life. The word of God is blueprint and directions of how God wants us. It's the revelation of his, not of his will and of his mind for us. So if we study the word, if we get into the word, we get word, the understanding of the word, and then apply that word to our life. Because I learned a long time ago something that, again, this is the thing that we need to consider. I am not impressed by anybody who can quote scripture. I'm not impressed by people who can throw verses, that can articulate verses and memorize all the books of the Bible in alphabetical order, chronological order. I have to look at their life to see how they're living every day. I need to see what how they treat their wives, they treat their children, those around them. What is their reputation in the community, in their homes? What is their reputation in their church? You know, you want to ask, you want to find out, I tell men all this all the time, if I want to find out who you are, I'm going to ask your wife, your children, and your pastor. If they can't vouch for you, then are you really who you think you are? And on all truth and honesty, because, you know, some people set alibis up for people, which is fine. But then after that, how is your relationship, our one-on-one relationship? Are we real koinonia, that's my word I was looking for. Even in the body of Christ, look around your church today. Are you in fellowship with those that you come with every week? Married couples, I always bring my married couples involved. Are you involved with other married couples that are, you know, who love God and love each other? Who's in your life? Who's in your circle? One of the things we have to understand that God be more Christ-like is, do we love one another? Are we connected one to another to encourage one another? Okay, the church, you know, for those who don't know, because for the heart folk who are listening, you know, I was in church my whole life. I didn't get saved until I was in my mid-30s. And coming to the church was to connect, was to reconnect, was to disconnect from some things and be drawn to some other things. And that's what we have to be at the body of Christ. Are we drawing people and compelling them to come into this thing by how we treat them, how we present them? Are we being friendly? Are we reaching out to let people connect? Because, again, if we look at the book of Acts, these are things that we have to consider. Because, you know, a lot of this is about always studying our word of God to understand what the word of God is telling us in the story, in the history. That what is if we look at what happened with the saints, and they gave their life to Christ, they were forsaken by families, they were forsaken by their communities. You know, the churches now, we have churches everywhere, but if we read the New Testament, there was only one church, one group of Christian believers in a city. And all they had to do is to depend on each other. So ask yourself a question. Can the church that you go to, can you depend on those people to maintain and sustain you in the natural and in the spiritual? Or, and on the other hand, if you're a mature saint, can people depend on you and lean on you and trust you as a church, as being part of the body, as a church? And again, this is not about titles. This is not about being ordained and laying on hands. You, as a believer in the body of Christ, as in the family of God, are you more Christ-like? And do people know? And then how do people see you? Do they see the God in you by how you carry yourself, how you speak, how you share, how you serve, how you minister? And the last point I want to make today in our show today. Again, for those who may have just called in, may have just listened at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. And I believe Apostle Banks' website, I'm not sure what her link is, but it's heart to heart. I believe it's www.blogtalkradio.com/ApostleEdaBanks. But if you listen online, you know how you got there. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We are doing a live simulcast with Heart to Heart. Pastor Apostle Banks is at a meeting this morning, and she asked me to fill in for her show, and I tied it together and did a simulcast with my show, which I do on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., called Issues Christian Men's Talk, where men, we talk about the issues that affect us as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons. And for those of you who are listening to Heart, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Again, same rules apply. If you'd like to share, ask a question, or share some insight or wisdom or something that's being said today, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. Amen. So let me go. Okay, let me make a quick public service announcement for my brothers out there. For the Issues Christian Men Talk brothers, we have a couple events coming up real soon. We want you to put on your calendar November 2nd, Saturday, November the 2nd. We are having a men's fellowship breakfast. We're gathering in Glenbury, Maryland. For those of you who live in the local D.C. Baltimore area, we're at the Golden Corral in Glenbury on Saturday, November the 2nd at 9:30 a.m. for breakfast and fellowship. We invite you to come out. It's being sponsored by the Jesus Lives Fellowship and Ministries Men's Group. I'm going to be there. Some of the brothers are going to be there from the church. Hopefully some of you brothers out there listening. Wives, girlfriends, mothers, let your boyfriend, uncles, sons know that the men's group is going to be gathering on November the 2nd at 9:30 a.m. at the Golden Corral in Glenbury, Maryland. If you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, you'll see the link, you'll see the flyer, see the address, the information there. If you have any questions, and if you need a ride, if you want us to come get your son, your uncle, your brother, send us an inbox on Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'll definitely send a brother out there to get him. Amen? Amen. Amen. And also, set your calendars, set your phone, set your tablet, your reminders. April 17, 18, and 19. April 17, 18, and 19, 2020, we're putting together and planning a men's retreat to the Black Rock Retreat Center in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. More details are going to be coming. We're going to have the price and flyers and everything set by November, by next month. Hopefully by that breakfast meeting, if not soon after. But set your calendar, set the date, save the date, write it down. Wives, girlfriends, mothers, let the men in your life know we're having a men's retreat April 17th, 18th, and 19th, 2020. We're going to the Black Rock Retreat Center in Lancaster, Maryland. We have more details. Again, if you go to the Facebook page, you can see it there. It'll be posted there, and I invite you to come out and join us. Amen. And for the brothers out there listening, if you have any men's groups, men's breakfasts, men's groups, men's Bible studies, please let us know on Facebook. We always post them. You can leave us an inbox, and we'll announce them here on the broadcast every week. And just to be part of it, because I think it's important that men come together in a room of men to reason together, to encourage one another, and to be transparent with each other in understanding and application of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to touch on one more point this morning. We're talking about becoming more Christ-like. And becoming more Christ-like is a result of Christian growth. First of all, I just wanted to say this. You must be saved. You must have given your life to Christ and understand who Christ is, why he died, the proof and the value of his resurrection, and the price that was paid for you. And then in that, we all started somewhere. They call it baby Christians, new believers, new converts, whatever you want to call it. We're all immature in wisdom and knowledge and inexperienced in the grace and love and understanding of God. These are the words that we use now. We use them all the time. We talk about grace. We talk about peace and love and understanding and the wisdom of God. But, you know, when we remember when we were first saved and how we have grown, and I think growth is a very part of this Christian walk. Because the saints, again, it took Jesus 3 years to get 12 men prepared to go out and change the world. And again, one of them was a liar from the beginning. But it was 3 years of ministry that he spoke. And then even after that, it was the Holy Spirit that carried them through. Because God, Jesus said, once he leaves, he's going to send a comforter. He's going to send a helper. So this is what we talk about when we first got saved. And now we submit to the Holy Spirit, to the helper that is given to us through the study of his word. And then we grow. In each of these things, we have to take charge and become stronger. Again, I always say this to brothers. I say this to anybody. You grew from when we started school, from either kindergarten, pre-kindergarten. Some of us had that, some of us didn't. But everybody goes to first grade. And from that point on, we are given information, we are trained, we are taught, and we have expectation of understanding to be able to move forward and grow to the point where we go from first grade to high school. First grade to middle school. From middle school to high school. There's things and information we're given, our growth, and we change and we grow, our minds expand, And then some go to high school. I mean, let's all go to high school, prayerfully. But then you go to high school, you have a diploma. You have milestones in our lives of growth and achievement. Now, let's take that back to the spiritual realm. Sometimes we let people off the hook when it comes to spiritual growth. We like to say, you know, everybody matures differently, everybody grows differently. I understand that in some sense. However, everyone, you don't get a high school diploma if you don't go to high school. You don't get a college degree if you don't go to the classes and do the coursework. You don't go on your job and be trained and become a supervisor or proficient or whatever unless you apply yourself to the thing and submit to it. We submit in a lot of things. When it comes to the body of Christ and Christians, for some of us who've been in, especially for those who have been in the church more than 5 years, well, how have you grown in Christ and your understanding of the word? Are you still on the elementary? Paul wrote about this. He wrote about, at this point, you should be having meat, but you're still feeding yourself on milk. Now, there's a certain time you have to get off of milk. Now, unless you are not either taking in the milk, you're not growing, you're not seeking more understanding in the things of God, you think your sinner's prayer or that day of conversion or that whatever it was, however you would say it, a lot of churches and a lot of ministries and Dollar 90 used to do it a lot of way. But if you're not grown from that point to the point, let me say it this way. Have you grown to the point where you sit in the sermon with your pastor preaches, you have a deep understanding of what he's saying, or is it still elementary and new revelation to you? You know, because I think the difference is between, I'll say it like this, because for those on heart to heart, this is how I talk to men, because men have a greater responsibility to lead in their homes and lead their families and minister to their wives and their children, because they are the first preachers and pastors of the home, because God set it up for the home to be the place, and then we bring our homes to the churches to build the body of Christ. It's not the other way around, but that's a whole nother show. Amen. But are we growing in Christ where we come, we hear a word, and we're ready to apply the word? Do we come to hear the sermon on Sunday, or do we come to Bible study to hear a word that we can apply and grow on, meditate on, and then apply it, and then go out into the world and share the knowledge and understanding that we have of God? Because that's what the disciples did. That's why Jesus said we are called to make disciples, not converts and build two churches and fill up all the chairs. Are we making disciples individually? Yeah, I was in an evangelistic meeting last week or so, and was asked, when was the last time you discipled someone? Not led someone to Christ, but when is the last time you have discipled someone, and are you discipling someone? Or have you ever discipled someone? Again, the whole sinner prayer discussion, everybody, you handle it how you feel, see fit, but understand. Even if you gave someone the sinner prayer and introduced them to Christ, have you followed up with them? Have you took them under your wing? Or you just let them go out there as a young child who just learned how to walk, so now they know how to walk in the house, so we let them go out and go play in the street, in the playground. They know how to walk now, they're potty trained, so we just send them out. Is that what we're doing with the body of Christ? Is that what we're doing with our young people in the faith? I don't care if they're 50, 70, 85, 18, 20, or 12, but is that what we're doing now? We give them the simplicity, and then we send them out there. We don't mentor them. We don't follow up with them. We don't have a structured strategy to be able to disciple people, and this is what God has called us to do. But again, I digress. Let's go back to becoming more Christ-like as a result of Christian growth. And this is our individual thing, because if we don't grow, we can't expect to be able to grow and feed in nobody else's life, because we have nothing to give. Growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Do we know more about Christ? Do we have a deeper understanding of Christ? Do we love God for who he is and what he's done? Do we understand that every day, we are called to live in the grace and knowledge and grow in him and then be used by him. That means submitting to the will, understanding what God wants for our life, understanding that God is in control, that none of the things that happen to us personally and what happens in the world and in this culture is a surprise to God. He is in control. But we have to just be able to see that. We will see the world differently if we look at Scripture, if we look at what God is called to do, what God is doing here. But we have to grow in the knowledge and grace of God, becoming and know that what God has done in the past, because the things he's done for you and I, he can do for others. But only if others see God in their circumstances, in their lives, in their struggles, in their sufferings, you know, and are we being that salt and light in the midst of, and are we helping people to grow? Because, again, we cannot leave folk out there like a child who just learned how to walk, and then we're happy, because then we just send them out. Do we have a strategy? Are we personally discipling? Not your pastor, a lot of churches, I mean, Bible study and new convert class and new beginners classes are also tools, but now are we making personal friendship connections with new believers and encouraging one another? And even for the old saints, are we standing together arm in arm, shoulder by shoulder to strengthen each other when we're tempted? Are we helping to grow the brother next to me? And just because the deacon, trust me, I've been ordained a deacon for, I don't remember how long it's been, but there's times I need another brother to lean on, to encourage me, to be able to have someone to talk to when stuff happens, when things go haywire, when I just feel pressed, tested, burdened, and tired. Who do I have? You know, you have your wife. I have my wife. But, you know, do I have my male friends, the brothers that I know I can go to? We talk about iron sharpening iron. But what does that mean in the real sense? It's not a cliche because every men's ministry uses it. I've heard so many men's ministries use it, but then when you go and you figure out these brothers don't even know where each other lives. They've never been to each other's house. Every men's fellowship is in the church or somewhere else. It's never nobody's house. I'll let that sink in right there. Because if you're in true fellowship, how many people, who comes to your house? Do you host people at your house? Do you open up your doors? Or is your house your, what's Superman hat? Your temple of solitude where nobody can come in. You know, that's where you go to get away from everybody. That's not Christ likeness. Just to let you know. But, you know, everyone has everyone. Okay, and everyone grows at a different speed. But today I just wanted to encourage you on becoming more Christ-like and growth and maturity. And just sometimes we just have to check ourselves and look in the mirror and understand who we are, who we are called to be. Amen. I'm going to go back here to 2 Peter, and encourage you by the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. Again, you've been listening to Deacon Thomas Farr. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk and Heart to Heart. We are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Issues Christian Men's Talk. We do a live broadcast on Mondays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. We talk about the issues that to encourage men, to strengthen men, and to be able to encourage one another. Again, we pray that you that a word was spoken today that would encourage you, a word was spoken that would be able to push you, just push you a little bit farther into your surrender and submission to the love of God, and understand that Christ-likeness, it should be the desire of every believer. It is encouraging to know that God has the same desire for everyone. We are all his children. We're not grandchildren, stepchildren, nieces, and nephews. We are the children, sons, and daughters of God. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled back to him. So becoming more Christ-like is the result of surrendering to God. Becoming more Christ-like is the result of freedom from sin. And being more Christ-like is the result of Christian growth. So I just would like to encourage you today. Continue to press on. Continue to pray for your family. I pray that something was said here that will encourage you. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can hear the rebroadcast of this show. Also, you can reach out at www.blogtalk.com, Apostle Etta Banks, and you can hear this again on Heart to Heart in the archive. We encourage you to go to Facebook, LinkedIn, follow there, and be encouraged. So let us pray. Father, I say thank you today. I thank you for this opportunity to speak life. I thank you for the opportunity to speak encouragement. But today, God, I just pray a word would fall on good ground today that have encouraged someone to seek to be more Christ-like, to become more Christ-like. I pray, God, that you, God, will move on their hearts, that you would make a difference today, oh God, in the hearts and minds of people. And, Father, as always, I pray for the lost. Today will be the day of salvation. Father, use your many ambassadors. Use your Holy Spirit. Use your faithful ones who are called by your name to speak a word of truth to someone today, that they will come into the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the remission of their sins. Father, I pray the protection of your church all over the world, everywhere, in every continent, in every country. Those who are being persecuted, those who are suffering for your name, we pray their strength and their endurance and their persistence and their long-suffering, God. Keep them, God, in perfect peace, God. And, Father, we say thank you today. I thank you for the churches who will gather tomorrow in worship and praise. I thank you for souls that may be saved again in those services, that they might hear the clear presentation of the gospel. Father, I rebuke the false prophets, and that their tongues would be tied. Strengthen us and keep us. Continue to move in the way that you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Join us again next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. God bless you.